Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be talking again about God and politics. What does God think about politics? What's his place? What's his position? And how are we to react and how are we to respond here as Christians in this nation with a very important election coming up? And so you'll want to stay tuned for every word of this message. Turn in your Bible to Romans 13. We're going to start there and then go back into the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 24, but turn in your Bible to start Romans ministry. Before we get into the lesson today, just want to give you a brief update what's happening in Kenya. We are looking for an acre of land. The landowner next to us wants to swap his land for an acre that we find someplace else in the village, and then we would be able to have 2 acres right between the church and the children's home. We're going to build a school there, a primary school. We want very much to have our children in a Christian primary school. This would be a major step forward for not only us, but for the children in the children's home and the village of Makunda to have a good Christian school. At the present time, there's a Muslim school about 1 kilometer away, and then there's also a Catholic school about 1 kilometer away. Those are the 2 main schools in Makunda Village. And we want to have a Christian school where kids can be in a good, safe Christian environment, learn their ABCs, and also learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ and be able to recite and learn Bible scripture. And so this is an important step. Pray with us on this so we can get the money to purchase that acre of land, put the puzzle together, put the pieces of the puzzle together, and move forward in building a primary school there, Makunda. So pray with us on that. We appreciate your prayers. Well, today we're going to be talking about the last in our series of God and politics. And if you've been with us the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know that we've looked at the political elections, the policies of this nation from several different viewpoints. And so today I'm going to try to wrap it all up, and then we're going to finish with the story in the Old Testament concerning King David. But I want you to know, and if you've listened to the last 3 or 4 lessons, you know that I believe that Christians should be involved in politics. Some people unknowingly, in ignorance, speak that God isn't interested in politics. He's not interested in who's elected into what position in the country. He's not concerned about that. Well, beloved, if you've listened to me, you know I don't agree with that at all. And I don't agree that the Bible supports that position. I think the Bible supports the position that God is very much involved, and he wants the details of your life to be kingdom-minded. He wants the details of your life to be directed by his word, directed by your destiny and the destiny over that nation that God has spoken over that nation. And some of you may find it hard to believe that God speaks over nations, but he does. Even to this day, it wasn't just an Old Testament thing or a New Testament thing. He speaks over nations through the prophets. He wants the people to get involved. He wants the people to fulfill their destiny, not only for their personal life, for their family, for their church, for their community, but for the whole nation. He wants the people to get involved. And so that's where democratic nation comes into being. That's where democratic nation comes into play. And it's very important that you fulfill your destiny in the United States of America. You fulfill your destiny not only for your personal life, but as a participant in this great nation. And so we have the privilege, the awesome privilege and the honor to go to the poll, the obligation to go to the poll. Can you imagine what America would look like if nobody went to the polls And can you imagine what kind of a nation we had if only the people of the devil, only the people who didn't believe in Jesus, and the people who have no obligation or affinity or attraction to Jesus Christ and to his word and to his kingdom, if they just totally disregarded elections, totally disregarded their opportunity to vote, what would the United States of America look like? And so that's the picture that we have presented to us today. And I'm going to give a scripture here out of Proverbs before we go to Romans 13. And Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." And so ultimately, God is a sovereign God. He can turn the king's heart. But when the people go to the poll and they vote, and when people pray and they pray for the king and they pray for God to turn the heart one way or the other, then God is responsive to the prayers. He hears the prayers of the righteous, and he turns the king's heart in response to the prayers of the people. And so when you see things happening in a nation that is very chaotic and very ungodly, you know you need to pray more. We all need to pray more. That's why I start these messages off with prayer. And we pray for this nation. We pray for the people in the government who are in authority in the government. We pray for people who have the authority to bring change and the authority to pass laws, and we pray for them and we speak to them. We open our mouths, we speak, because we have freedom of speech in America, and we have freedom of speech to some degree also here in Kenya. And so it's very important that the people get involved. Well, back to Romans 13, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to re-emphasize this, that in Romans 13:3, it says, "Rulers are not a terror for good works or to good works, but to evil." Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In other words, you don't have to fear the authorities if you are doing good. You only have to fear the authorities if you're doing evil, if the government is in alignment with the Word of God, which the American government, for the most part, is in alignment with the Word of God. Our government was established on Christian principles. Our government was established on the law of the Ten Commandments, still adheres to that for the most part. Today, we are primarily a government and a country of law and order, and it upholds the rule of law and order. And what does that mean? It means it's established on biblical principles. We're not established on Sharia law. We're not established on gunslinger law. We're established on Christian principles for the most part. And so if you are doing God's will and you're doing your best to keep the law and to conduct yourself as an orderly citizen in the United States of America, you have no fear of the government. Well, in Romans 13:4, "For the ruler," or the man in authority, "is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." And so it's God's will that the people in authority, those who are elected to be in authority and to rule over us, the president, the vice president, the Congress, and all the local state officials, county officials, they have been appointed by God to be an avenger of wrath for those who do evil. And so thereby, they have the authority to arrest people. They have authority to put people in jail. They have authority to put people in prison. They can bring cases before the magistrates and the judges, and they can appoint public defenders for those who can't afford a lawyer. But all of this is in the context of the state has the authority to carry out the plans of God for that state, for that nation, for that county, for that city, and God has given him authority to combat crime, to combat criminals, to combat lawbreakers. God has given that authority because he is a God of order. He doesn't want to see chaos. He doesn't want to see anarchy. He doesn't want to see people killing and raping and maiming each other and destroying each other's lives. God is a God of order, and so he tries to establish order through the local officials. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, we have a great story here that I'm going to finish up this message today with this story, and it shows how God turns the hearts of the kings just like rivers. God turns their hearts, and he makes those hearts turn and go in the direction that he wants them to go. And of course, King David was a man after God's own heart. King David was the father of Solomon, but King David was a man after God's own heart. He was taken out of the pasture. He was a shepherd out there with the sheep, and God anointed him, looked over all the people of Israel, and God anointed him and made King David the king over all of Israel. And David was the most famous king over all of Israel. He reigned for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and then 33 years in Jerusalem. And this is a story of King David in the prime of his life. It says in chapter 24, 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says, "The anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say to David, 'Go and number Israel and Judah.'" Well, this seems like a rather innocent command that God has given to David, but he says, "Go and number Israel and Judah." Well, in other passages in the Bible, God says, "I don't want you to number the people, the soldiers, and the army. I want you to depend on me for your strength." And so we see an intricate plot starting to develop here, starting to unfold here. And it says, David went out and he numbered the people, even though his conscience was bothering him. He didn't think it was the right thing to do, but God had aroused David and he had moved David against the people of Israel. Well, in verse 10, it says, David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Well, God was testing David's heart to see if David would be totally obedient to him. He was also testing the people of Israel, because God, in some ways, was disappointed, or you might say angry, at the people of Israel. And so he was, in a way, provoking David to number the people so that God would have a reason to pour out his wrath on the people of Israel. And so you may say, well, that seems a bit cruel on the part of God. That seems a bit cruel. And why would God do that? It's because God was testing King David to be obedient to him. And also, God had an issue with the people of Israel for their continued disobedience, for their continued worship of idols, for their continued establishment of the high places where they could go and worship idols and sacrifice to idols. And so this was, in a way, a microcosm of things that happened in the Old Testament. God was never totally satisfied with his people. He laid out his law and he told the people, "This is what I want you to do." But because they were continually in rebellion to that law, well, many times then it led to situations where people got in great distress and where things happened where people were wiped out, where God's wrath was poured out upon people. And so this is what the situation is here for King David. So when David arose in the morning, verse 11, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, David's prophet, saying, "Go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. Well, God is offering David a choice of three things, none of which is a very good choice. But back to that scripture I opened this message with, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. And so God is giving David an opportunity to make a choice between three things. God is turning David's heart, and he's going to turn it, but give David an option to choose in which way God wants to choose it. Well, in verse 13, Gad came to David and told him, and he said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you, or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider and see what answer I should give back to God who sent me. Well, can you imagine the Lord giving you a choice of three options, none of which is good, but sometimes in our life, that's what God gives us. He gives us options, and sometimes we can see clearly one option is better than the other, and sometimes we can see clearly that we should have made better choices in the past, considering the options that God had given us. But we may come to a place, a fork in the road or a split in the road, or maybe we come to a place where we're in a corner and doesn't look like any of the options are good. That's the way David is here today. He's painted into a corner in a way, and it doesn't look like any of the options are good. And he has to make the choice for one of these options. And so David says, verse 14, so David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan till Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. And verse 16, when the angel of the Lord stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough, now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, surely I have sinned. What he meant was, I have sinned by numbering the people. Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. And so then in verse 18, Gad came to David that day and said to him, go up and erect an altar to the Lord. Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And so David went up to the threshing floor, and he was going to build an altar to the Lord. Well, you can imagine the guilt David felt, the burden David felt when he numbered the people, and then his conscience got to him, his conscience started to speak to him, and then the prophet came to him and said, David, you've sinned, and I'm going to give you three choices. God has given you three choices, and you have to make a choice between one of these three. None of them are good, and now 70,000 people have died, have perished because of the choice you made, and that was the best looking of the three choices, and now 70,000 people of the nation of Israel have died. Well, beloved, when we sin, when we make choices that aren't good choices, there's always repercussions. There's people that get hurt. There's people down the line who get hurt, that suffer. Many times it's your children or some other people's children, some other people's young people. And so when we sin, there are always consequences to pay. When you sin, you may not get found out for a while, but there are consequences to pay. And so you need to pray before you do anything. Move forward with God and his direction. Move forward with a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, praying about everything that you do. And if you'll do that, you minimize the consequences. You minimize that ripple effect. It's like a stone being dropped in a lake or in a pond. That stone causes ripple effects of that water going out. And as it ripples out, it causes ripple effects. It causes unintended consequences everywhere it ripples out. And so it is with sin. And so it is with David in this situation where he has numbered the people. And now he is looking at and dealing with the consequences of his foolish action. Well, in verse 20, now Araunah looked, and he saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Araunah said, why has the Lord my king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Well, Araunah didn't know anything about the choices David had. He didn't know anything about the choices David made. He's just there working on the threshing floor. And David comes to him, and Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen of wood. All these, O king, Araunah has given to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. And so Araunah was offering up to David everything that he had on that threshing floor. He was offering up the oxen. He was offering up the threshing implements, the yokes, everything that he had there. And David was given an opportunity to take these things for free because Araunah wanted to help David with his offering to the Lord. Well, we get offering when our hearts are turned right. We get offerings from people when our hearts are in the right place. God will put people by your side and he will say, I want to offer these people to you, and their blessings are going to go with you so that you can get things right in your life to me. And some of you can give a testimony to how God has put people beside you, how God has raised up people to help you with money, with finances, with sacrifices to help you on your way to get your life back in good standing with the Lord, to help you make good decisions and to stop the plague in your life. And so God is a merciful God. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of understanding and blessings. And so it is God's will that we get back in right standing with him, stop the plague in our life, stop the plague in our family. And so that is what Araunah offered to David, was to help him and to get things right back on the right foot and back on track with the Lord. Then King David said to Araunah, verse 24, no, but I will surely buy from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that which costs me nothing. And so David is saying, no, I'm not going to take your offering to me for free, Araunah. I'm not going to take what you're giving me for free. I want to pay a price for it because I've caused all this havoc. I've caused all this chaos. These 70,000 people have lost their life. And David is saying, I want to offer to the Lord that which costs me something. Well, beloved, when you want to get right with the Lord, I suggest you make an offering to the Lord. I suggest you make an offering either to this ministry, to somebody else's ministry. Go to church, make an offering to help support the activities of that church. But at any rate, make an offering, costs you something, so that you can get right with the Lord. Don't expect everything for free. Don't expect the ripples and the consequences of your sinful life not to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to get right with the Lord. It's going to cost you something. And if somebody is teaching you something about God's kingdom, if God's kingdom is coming to you through somebody's teaching or somebody's revelation, through their radio broadcast, through their television broadcast, through their message in the church, you make an offering to help that person. You make an offering to the Lord through that person so that you can get things right and the plague can be stopped in your life. Well, David, verse 24, he bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And if you look that up, 50 shekels of silver, I looked it up one time, can't remember the exact figure, but I was thinking it was something like 25,000, 25 to 50,000 in today's money. And so it was a significant offering that David made, but he didn't want that threshing floor for free. He wanted to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 25, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. So David helped that plague stop right there. The Lord was merciful, received the offering that David made, and the Lord stopped the plague. Well, beloved, you can make an offering to the Lord, help stop the plague in your life, stop the plague over this nation. The plague is sin. You can stop it, make an offering to the Lord, and get things right and get things established for yourself and for your nation. That is God's will for your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We ask you to make an offering to the Lord. Pray about your part in this ministry. Pray about your part in what you can help the Lord do here in Africa or through this radio broadcast. God will be blessed. You will be blessed. You can help stop the plague in your life and in the plague of this nation. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you today. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.